Blessed is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to today's service. Our senior pastor and the co-pastor, they're not around today. So I'll be filling in today to bring forth the word. Hallelujah. And on this day, I know a lot of places, they will definitely be ministering words on, you know, the triumphal entry. Dikimuiwa has done that for us today. this account is one of those stories that you find in all of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you can't dispute that experience. And all of them have their unique perspectives of this event. But today, I'm going to be ministering from John's own account, and you can find that in John chapter 12. Hallelujah. John chapter 12. But before I go on, I'm just going to lay a little foundation for what I'm about to minister before I go into the message proper. So don't count this against my time, all right? This is just, you know, a little intro. So when I start, you know, when I go into John 12, you know I've started my own message, all right? Right, so today's message is titled, Made for More. We are made for more. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that there is more to you? Glory to God. God has wired you with so much more, and the best version of you is yet to be revealed. Amen. Hallelujah. So just by way of reminding us that this is our year of divine everything. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. We know it says, according as his divine power has given us all things. Somebody say all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Amen. Hallelujah. That is our theme scripture. Amen. So it is the will of God for us to have all things. Amen. Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All things, all spiritual blessings. Amen. Hallelujah. And we know that divine everything is a product of divine approval. That is what we have learned. Divine everything is a product of divine approval. So when God's hand is upon you, when God has approved of you, then the natural outcome is that you have divine everything. Amen? Amen. We see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Our senior pastor has done a lot of teaching on this. So I'm just trying to, you know, so that we can flow. And Acts chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says there that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved. The word approved there can also mean, in some translations, it says endorsed. A man approved or a man endorsed by God. Amen? You know, among you, by miracles and wonders and signs. Hallelujah. You know, thinking about this whole divine approval thing, you know, this is the way I understand it, right? Divine approval is like you having a button that enables a function on your phone. All right? Or maybe the light switch. This whole building is already wired and there's power flowing into it, right? And just because the lights are turned off and nothing is plugged in doesn't mean that there is no power in the building. Not until you flick on that switch, then you see that there is power flowing. Divine approval is like that switch. It is turned off. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want divine everything for you. It just simply means that you haven't found yourself in a place where you are indeed approved of God to enable that function, right? Take, for instance, your Bluetooth function on your phone. The Bluetooth is there, but you haven't enabled it. So you cannot receive any file. You cannot transfer any file, right? But when you turn on that function, then you can receive from God. And it will flow through you. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to find ourselves in a place of divine approval constantly. So just like that function, you can actually turn it off by the things you do, and you now step away from a place of divine approval, it doesn't mean that divine everything is not the will of God. It just simply means you are not located in the right place. Hallelujah. So if you want more about this, just go and listen to our midweek services. It's titled, Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. We need the proper foundation to be able to function in this year. You know, you cannot have a promise from God and then you want to fulfill it your own way. You want to go about seeing it happen in your life your own way, dictating how God will work in your life. No. The Lord has defined how He is going to bring to pass divine everything in our lives. And we need the proper teaching and understanding to have it manifest in our lives. Amen. Otherwise, at the end of the year, you're going to say, well, another word, but it didn't happen for me. Well, what did you do? So the proper foundation is being laid right now through our midweek teachings. We can't get into all of that on Sundays. As you can see, the Lord keeps interrupting our services on Sunday. He comes out here to want to teach, and he goes in a different direction. But you know, midweek service, he's all alone there. Amen. He's all alone there. So the Lord, you know, leads him in specific directions. Amen. He's able to get through his notes. He does his best to get through his message. Amen. Hallelujah. Even though the Spirit of God moves, but you know, he can keep it within 1-2 messages. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now let's go to John chapter 12. Somebody say, I'm made for more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 12. And I'm going to be reading from verse 1. I'm going to be skipping a lot of verses. So just flow with me. And please, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. If you don't have that, that's fine. Just flow with whatever version you have. John chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. John took the time to describe the particular Lazarus he's talking about. So I'm guessing there are other Lazaruses in this city, but he took the time to say, is the one that was raised from the dead. Amen? Verse 9. The Bible says, when all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Verse 17. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the dead. So this is not fake news. It happened, right? Many had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the dead, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many people went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ showed up to town. And he came to the house of the man that he had raised from the dead. And they're having supper. Amen. I believe that what God wants to do in this year, the divine everything that God is set to do in our lives, number one, it will be evident to all. Hallelujah. The divine intervention and interruptions God is about to bring into our lives will be evident to all. It will not be something that will happen and, you know, people, it's just you alone know about it. Nobody else knows about it. God wants to glorify himself in and through your life. Hear me? I know a lot of times when we hear the prophetic word of God, we just think, well, you know, as long as it can help me pay my bills, you know, help me live a comfortable life, that's okay for me. No, God wants to do so much more in your life and through your life. Amen? He wants to showcase His glory in and through your life. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not about you anymore. Amen. It's not about Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross to die so that you can pay your bills. That is not the essence of the covenant. Amen. Divine everything will be evident to all. What God will do in your life in this year, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, let us go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 4. The Bible says, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. Hallelujah. So whatever the obstacle in your life, whatever that looks so daunting, whatever that looks like, you know, you can't get over it. You can't deal with it. It is so difficult. The Lord is stepping in to bring low every mountain and every hill. He's going to exalt that in the places where you feel you don't have the ability. You are insufficient. You don't feel like you are capable. The Lord is going to infuse you with strength. Hallelujah. The Bible says right there, it says that the crooked places shall be made straight. Crooked places will be made straight for you this year in the name of Jesus. And the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And what does it say there? It says all flesh. Somebody say all flesh. All flesh. All flesh shall see it together. Not just your family members. All flesh, your boss will see the glory of God on your life. Amen. Your community will see the glory of God on your life. The city will see the glory of God upon your life. In the name of Jesus. What God will do will be so visible. It will be so visible. It will make you become so attractive. Hear me. There are certain dreams that seem to be dead right now. People saw you when you had the dream initially. They saw you when you were bragging about the vision. They saw you talking about that project. They saw that they had put a department in your care. And all of a sudden that department becomes unprofitable. It's not sustainable anymore. Things are dying off around you. Nothing has the right to die in your hands. Because the resurrection power of God is at work in you. Amen. 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 Please, if you believe with me, you can say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing has a right to die that God has put in your hands. That vision is coming back to life. Those people that saw it die, they will also see the wisdom of God, the superior wisdom of God at work in you to bring that project back to life. To bring that department from a place of being unprofitable and unsustainable, bring it over. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with what you read or what you know. The Bible talks about the disciples that, listen, some people accosted them and they said, listen, we know that these men, They are illiterates. They are unlearned. They don't know much. But one thing we know though, they have been with Jesus. They've had an encounter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what God is about to do in you and through you. People will see the divine wisdom of God at work in you. And they will know that it is God. They will know that it is God. All eyes shall see it. And the next thing God will do in your life is that what he does shall be forever. It is not going to die prematurely. You will not have a testimony that today you are celebrating, tomorrow is no more. When people ask, oh, where is that thing God did for you? You say, well, you know, there is no, you know. What God has done in your life, it will be forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Hallelujah. It shall be forever. The Lord will sustain it. The Lord will keep it. It is for his glory. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches, just like we have today. And they went down the road to meet him. And they shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Hallelujah. The Lord is bringing divine promotion and divine elevation into our lives. Remember, this is the same Jesus who came to... Is this not the one that made that bench that we have in our house? Who is he? What does he know? What qualifies him? We've been around, we've been worshiping in the temple before he showed up. All of a sudden now he said he's doing what? He's performing what? The Bible says he couldn't do much because of that unbelief. That unbelief raised a wall against him. But today, the same people that said this is the carpenter, they're celebrating him as the king of Israel. Yeah. Hear me? God is taking you from wherever you are right now. In the places where people have dismissed you, they feel like, listen, you are not qualified. They think that you are not good enough. They think that, well, you don't look right. You don't just rub off well with them. You know, listen, God is going to elevate you. The Bible says in the book of Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, he says, the Lord said to Joshua, today, somebody say today, today I will magnify you. Today, I will magnify you. Today, the Lord will magnify you. In the very faces of the people who thought you don't qualify. In the very faces of the people who think, listen, I mean, you just keep working where you are. We are never going to promote you. Listen, the Lord will make room for you. If departments have to be created so that you can head it, it will be created. Where they rubbished your name, the places where they said, listen, you are just a cleaner. You don't have the right qualification. You don't have the right certification. God will elevate you. They will recognize the grace of God upon your life. They will recognize the superior wisdom of God that is at work in you. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Divine elevation is our portion in the name of Jesus. Divine promotion is our portion in the name of Jesus. Take a look at Joshua chapter 4, verse 14. Please keep the translations, the New Living Translation for me. And the Bible says, that day, the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. And for the rest of his life, so it was not temporary promotion. It wasn't something that just happened and, you know, everybody just continued to dismiss of you. No. He said for the rest of his life, they revered him as much as they revered Moses. Joshua didn't feel like he qualified. Because you're about to succeed a man like Moses. Now he's focusing on his flaws. His inadequacies, you know, the things that make him look like, oh no, I can never be like Moses. I don't have what it takes. But the Lord magnified him for his purpose. And so shall it be for us. We have to begin to focus on the God that is in us and with us. Amen. It is not about you. We have to understand that it is not about you. God wants to be glorified. And part of the divine everything is that the Lord will promote you. The Lord will elevate you. He will make you relevant in significant places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 14 of John 12. The Bible says, Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it. You remember the story, how he sent out his disciples to go look for this donkey. Amen? sent out his disciples to go find a donkey for him, according as it was prophesied, right? The Lord spoke forth his word. So he wasn't just looking for donkey for donkey's sake. Right? Otherwise, he would have been searching for donkey every day of his ministry. But at this time, there was a need for that donkey. The Lord will divinely provide for every assignment he gives you. Divine provision is your portion in the name of Jesus. The Lord does not owe anybody, and he's not going to make you be spent and spend for what he has assigned you for. The Bible says that no soldier goes to war at his own expense. I mean, think about it. You have people in the military, and then you tell them, listen, we want you to join, but guess what? You're going to pay for your uniform. You're going to pay for the gun and the bullet. You're going to pay for your flight to the war front. I mean, think about it. How many people do you think will sign up? So why do you think that the Lord has put you here and has told you, listen, just do it by your own might. Spend your own money to get it done. The Lord will make the provision necessary for the assignment. So whatever project you have in hand, because the focus is his glory, he will make provision for you. Remember the woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, the wife, the widow of that prophet. The Bible says that that woman ran to Elisha. And Elisha, you know, was right there, received this woman and told the woman, go bring, you know, whatever you have in your house. The qualification, now her husband, who's late, a prophet, the Bible describes him, you know, as a faithful man. He was a good man. He served the Lord to the end. It just, I mean, the only thing is that, you know, he died and left, you know, a lot of debt on ground. Now this woman feels she's stranded. I want to keep serving the Lord. I want to keep doing the will of God. I want to keep pursuing his assignment. But listen, all of this is hanging over me. I want to carry out this assignment, but I can't afford it. And the Bible says, the prophet said, okay, bring the oil. It multiplied. And guess what? He told her, go and sell it. Pay your debt. And leave off the rest. He said, pay your debt. So, whatever you have incurred in the process, the Lord will take care of it. Amen? Whatever the assignment is, whatever it costs, the Lord will pay for it. But guess what? Just like, I know now right now, a lot of us may be thinking, you know, I know how much I make. I know when you take this one out, take that one out, you know, maybe I might not pay tithes this month so that I can do this. Listen, God is saying he is not going to require you to begin to push the calculator and figure out where you can save. He will pay in full for that assignment. It is yours if you believe. All right? You can push that calculator all you want. The numbers won't change. Amen? So the easier part is that you believe that God is able. He will pay for whatever cost you have incurred and you will leave off the rest. Now let me ask you a question. This hit me when I was studying this. How much do you think is enough for you to leave off? If the prophet told her, you will leave off the rest, is he talking about $100? Is $1,000 enough for you to leave off? You know, I stumbled on some information a couple of months ago where they say your savings, right, should be about 6 months of your monthly expense at the minimum. What you have saved and stored up, rainy day funds, they say, should be at the minimum 6 months. Otherwise, you are in trouble, according to them. between 6 and 10 months, you should have saved up. So if you spend 2,000 every month, that's your monthly expense, then you should have, at the minimum, 12,000, right? Am I right? You should have 12,000 saved. You're not touching. So if the Bible, now let's take that. If the Bible says, go and live off the rest. Can you find that scripture so it doesn't look like, and live on what is left over. So I'm not making it up, right? If the Bible says that, then how much do you think, based on your own standard right now, do you need to live off? Amen? Are we thinking along now? If your monthly expense is 5,000 a month, you do the math. I'm not good at math right now. Then you know how much you need to live off. So you will have enough for your monthly expense, and then you will have enough to start off whatever venture you need to start off. Amen. So you're not running back and say, oh, you know what? The money is, the 1,000 that was left is finished. Can you multiply some more oil? No. You're not having this back and forth. Every now and then, you know, you are healed of this sickness today. You are back again. No, no. What God will do shall be forever. Hallelujah. The divine provision that God will make in our lives shall be forever. It will sustain us. It will pay the bills. It will take care of the vision. It will take care of the projects. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for my 5 loaves and 2 fish. Hallelujah. It is part of our month, our 2015, Jesus. Woo! What happened in 2015? Huh. Need to check it out. It is part of our confession. Thank you, Lord, for my 5 loaves and 2 fish. What you have might not be enough, but the Lord will multiply it. He will multiply it. So don't go about thinking that, okay, you know, what I'm making right now, how am I going to incorporate that vision? You know, I need to work some more. No, 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 no. If the Lord says go, go. He is faithful. He is faithful. The reason why we don't respond to God is only because we don't believe that He will come through. The reason why we don't give is because we don't believe that there is divine provision. But you know, the people who actually experience God the most are those who are stranded. You know that there is help coming from nowhere. If you have an uncle that is going to, you know, give you some money, or you have this connection that you can depend on, you won't pray long. You won't bother long. In fact, while you are praying, you are actually suggesting to the Lord, so listen, Lord, I come to you now, I trust you, that you will touch that man when I go. So you are giving the Lord your itinerary. So listen, Lord, this is what I want to do, so just bless it and make it work right. Whether or not it is according to the will of God, it doesn't bother you. If you have that money in your account, you won't be bothered about thinking divine provision, no. But when you are stranded, when you need 2 million, and what you have in your account is 20,000 or 200,000, then you understand how to wait on God. Amen? Amen? That is why you see the power of God moving in countries where, you know, technology is not so advanced. Things are not really happening. Because these people have to trust God for every single thing. Amen? You flick on, you know, I remember somebody saying, somebody saying during this war going on in Ukraine, and somebody said, I saw this online, and they said, can you imagine? The war is going on, and there are actually people streaming you know, sections of the country. There is war going on in the country. The internet is still working. Power supply is still steady. Meanwhile, there are places in this world, Nigeria included, where steady power supply is not guaranteed, even where there is full peace. Amen? So tell me, in that kind of country, now, I mean, in that country, I remember back in the day, you're going back home from work, and you are praying, Lord, Lord, let there be power in the house when I get there, so I can iron up my clothes and get ready for the next day. And then at that point, you begin to devise ways to make sure that you iron your clothes and get it ready for work the next day. If there is no power, you know what to do. An old iron and stove, figure it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Yet they trust God and it works. Because some people are there praying, Lord, this power needs to be restored. And before you know, power is restored. Long enough for them to finish ironing their clothes and do what they need to do and go. But that is not the perfect will of God. That is why you see people, they transition from Africa into America or Western, you know, countries, and that faith project begins to dwindle and go down. Because the things they used to trust God for, they don't trust Him for anymore. But God did not call us to pay for what He has assigned us to do. The health, the strength, the funds, everything He will supply. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we understand that as we're reading this, you remember the Bible says His glory shall be revealed and all flesh. Now there's a group of people that are a part of this all flesh. The Greek word that I found for these people is haters. Amen? The haters are part of all flesh. Amen. They are right there in the next cubicle in your office. Amen. You greet yourself, say hello, hi. But you know that this person doesn't wish you well. You know that when the review comes, they are not going to say anything nice. They are going to be shooting some emails, you know. Woo, Lord. I remember somebody was telling me how, you know, so foolishly, you are sending an email to bring down somebody else in an email chain where the person that you are tearing down is on. I mean, think about it. Hallelujah. You will be celebrated this year in the name of Jesus. So there are haters watching and waiting. They see the divine provision. They are not happy. They see divine elevation and promotion. They are not happy. Why should you promote her or him? Why should you pray for this person and they get healed? Oh yeah. They will tell you, that you shouldn't be doing that. This is an office. Somebody just got healed. And you said this is an office. What has that got to do with anything? Hallelujah. So, let's go to John chapter 11, verse 47. Let's take the story from there and we'll go back into the next chapter. Amen? Now, watch these haters. At this point, you remember the story of Lazarus. He was raised from the dead. And this was what happened. Some people were celebrating, rejoicing what great things the Lord has done. And some people, you know, these are, I don't even know what word to give them, but some people felt they needed to come report Jesus to the council. You know, the what would I call these people now? You can call them like the church leaders of the day. These are people who have been so long in church, caught up in do's and don'ts and laws and regulations, and so perfect in it, in fact, they're making up their own, that they feel for anybody to implement any law, they have to run it by them. For you to do anything. You remember when Jesus healed the sick on the Sabbath? And they felt, how dare you heal on the Sabbath? So if somebody is dying on the Sabbath, you will wait till after the Sabbath before. Oh, Lord Jesus, wickedness. All right, John 11:47. 47 says, New Living Translation, then the Lord, the leading priests, as they call themselves, the leading priests and Pharisees, called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. What do you want to do? Jesus has just raised somebody from the dead. And you are asking, what do you want to do? The natural response will be, let us celebrate and give God praise for what he has done. Amen? Worst case scenario, you connect yourself with Jesus and say, you know, he's part of our parish. He's one of our members. We know him, right? You know? And just connect with, you know, the rising star. That would be the smart thing to do. But no, you are taking counsel and saying, what are we going to do? And this is the claim. He says, this man, certainly, this is not fake news. Certainly, we can see for ourselves. It is evident to us that he performs many, not just one. But this is the one that really like blew their minds. Like, oh, listen, okay, now you're pushing it. Many miraculous signs. So they know that Jesus is approved. Keep watching. Verse 53, it says, so from that time on, the Jewish leaders began to plot Jesus' death. He raised somebody from the dead. You just saved this company billions of dollars. You just saved some people their jobs by making sure that department, you know, became profitable again. You initiated a project that now is accepted by the global, you know, franchise. And then he said, they want to put this man to death. How dare you? How dare you save people's jobs? How dare you raise somebody from the dead? We will kill you. Verse 57 says, meanwhile, the leading priests and Pharisees had publicly ordered that anyone seeing Jesus must report him immediately so they could arrest him. So they want to arrest him. They want to shut down the operation of God in his life. They want to terminate him. Three assignments of the enemy: steal, kill, destroy. Wipe off your existence. But you're going to see why they are doing this. The selfish motive. Let's flip over to John chapter 12. I see I have a lot of time. Wow. Glory to God. This feels good. John chapter 12. And we'll take it from verse 10. They continued in this chapter saying, then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus. You've gone from killing Jesus. Now you want to kill Lazarus. They've gone from trying to get you fired, trying to terminate your appointment, trying to cancel that contract. They also want to erase every work done. They want to make sure that nobody talks about that miracle again. They want to poison that child of promise. Verse 11 says, for it was because of Lazarus, because of this miracle, because of this breakthrough, because of this divine promotion, because of this divine intervention, that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. So you just stole my shine. My time, once upon a time, they thought they were the go-to people, the people you have to consult for any and everything. You can't get to the CEO without coming through me first. You can't present that proposal without running it by me first. How dare you go straight to the top? And then the Lord steps in, elevates you, bypass all of those bureaucracy and all those nonsense, and take you all the way to the top and give you approval. And now they say, you know what? We will not only terminate you, we will make sure that everything that has your name on it is erased. Why? Because we want to remain the ones that are praised in this place. The Bible says, many are the plans of a man's heart, yet it is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Who is he that says a thing and it comes to pass when the Lord has not ordained it? Hallelujah. No weapon formed or fashioned against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment is condemned already. Hallelujah. There is no divination against Israel. No enchantment against you. Hallelujah. The Lord will keep his promise concerning you. The Lord will keep his word concerning you. Amen. So it doesn't matter who is gathering together, what meetings they are having, all the consultations, all their permutations and all of that. They are making sure that, no, you will not rise beyond this level. Let me announce to you, God is at work in you and for you. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, say he is the one who is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is divine protection and preservation for you. Hallelujah. There is divine protection and preservation for you. Look at verse 19 of the scripture. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. John 12, verse 19. The Bible says, then the Pharisees said to each other, there's nothing, somebody say nothing, nothing we can do. They were planning to kill him. They were planning to arrest him. They were planning to kill Lazarus. And they got to a point, they had to recognize grace. They had to recognize that this is not ordinary. This is not man-made. This is God at work. God has approved of this person. So they said, listen, there is nothing. Somebody said, there is nothing. They cannot do anything. They can't do anything against me. Hallelujah. The easy to read translation says, look, our plan is not working. So allow them to plan. Allow them to gather. Gathering is free. Anybody, we are gathered here, aren't we? Let them gather. The Bible says they will fall for our sake. They will come in one way and they will flee in seven ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are not sounding like, you know, we believe this thing. I'll be excited for myself. Because I've seen the hand of God work. Sometimes people will come and tell you, you know what, this is what has been happening all along. And you have no clue that all of this has been happening. You've just been basking in the glory of God. The things you think, this is part of life. Things happen, things work, things don't work. You don't know that the enemy is working to stop you. God just preserved and kept you, shielded you from all that crazy news. kept you from being disturbed by it. The Lord will interrupt judgments that are against you. He will speak for you in places where you can't go. Remember the Shunammite woman who left everything, lost everything for 7 years. She came back before she showed up. Gehazi was already in the presence of the king, talking about the woman, what she had done, the seed she had sown, how she has blessed the servant of God. And the king said, this woman, restore to her all that she has, all the lands that she had before, and all of the harvests from that land. So she's not only getting her property back, whatever that was produced on those lands for 7 years must be restored to her. Somebody say restoration. Somebody say restoration. The Lord is restoring all. He's restoring everything that belongs to you. Hallelujah. So let them gather. Let them have their meetings. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. They will recognize the grace of God. They will acknowledge the grace of God upon your life. In the name of Jesus. They cannot bury the evidence of God's glory. Glory cannot be hidden. It's time we step away from that trying to belong and trying to conform mentality. God made you to stand out. Don't blend in. So when you see somebody sick in the office, that is an opportunity. Amen? You are not the one producing the power to heal the sick. Amen? You are not the one producing the power to deliver. The Lord is. The Bible says that when you go, signs will follow. So if you don't go, what happens? Nothing is following you. So for you to see this divine everything, you have to be in motion. You have to be about God's business. What is the use God trying to heal people through you when you are not even trying to, you know, motion towards people who are sick? He can use you. Yes, you will operate in divine healing and health. And definitely the enemy will attack your health. But that should not stop you from believing that God can use you. The Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That power means you will receive ability. You will receive might. You will receive superior wisdom. What you need for the assignment will be made available at the time when you need it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When a man's way pleases the Lord will cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. Remember the story of Isaac in Terah. When they drove him out of the city, they felt he cannot survive outside of the city. They drove him out. They took all the wells he dug. They cornered all the projects that he had handled. They forgot that God had put him there to sustain that city. God has put you in that company to sustain that company. That business is still alive because you are there. And they drove him out. He went out into the wilderness. They chased him. And they took over those projects. They drove him to the border cities where you have criminals and all of those people operating. They wanted to see that he died. But God was with him. The Bible says when he dug another well, they did not contend. He said, this is Rehoboth. Hallelujah. And he didn't stop there. He didn't stop. What God is doing in your life will be progressive. You won't just attain one miracle and just stop there. You know, like that rich fool who said, you know, now I'm going to build a tent and just relax. No. God is at work in you. So don't just stop. No matter what you achieve, God is taking you through seasons of your life where you'll be taking giant strides. People will think that this is your best. There is not, you can't top this. And then God will take you higher and bring out something that will blow the minds of people. Amen. The Bible says that Isaac got to Beersheba. There he dug another well and he worshiped the Lord. And these people, this king showed up, Abimelech showed up and said, now we can see that indeed the Lord is with you. Now we can see. They couldn't see it before. They thought it was all natural, but no. This is supernatural. God was at work in him. They say, now we see plainly that God is with you, and we can see indeed how blessed, how the Lord has blessed you, how the Lord has poured out his grace upon you. Amen. These people were saying, listen, you know, we have not done you wrong. Do they have amnesia? You drove this man out of the city. You made him vulnerable. And I said, no, we didn't do anything wrong to you. You know, we be brothers. But now, but God, at the perfect time, elevated him, magnified him in the eyes of these people. God magnified him in the eyes of these people. And they made peace with him. A man with a great army is coming to say, please don't destroy us. People will begin to see something in you that even you cannot see in yourself. They will see the God in you and the God that is backing you. Hallelujah. People of God, this is real. This is real. The enemy is working hard to stop the spread of the gospel, to make it look like miracles don't belong to this season, that you have to work it out. It is what it is. You know, it's gone. Those are those days. Now, you know, you got to figure it out. No. Miracles still happen today. Two testimonies and I close this. My brother-in-law who works in an investment, global investment bank in Egypt, counting down to retirement, right? And the Lord has been good to him. Deacon in his church, rising up the ranks, but it seemed like he had stagnated, no longer going higher. And he was content, almost, I think. And we had this casual conversation earlier in the year. And I said, listen, is there still room at the top? Is this the highest you can go? Anybody else can go? Because if there is a CEO position, that is still a position. Amen? I know a lot of people are like, what is, you know, don't worry. It doesn't matter what is happening in the natural. Let's stop bringing God down to the level of our human thinking and reasoning. What has Joseph got to do with leading Egypt? He's not an Egyptian. What is the qualification? This guy was a house boy. He was a cleaner in a house. And from cleaning one house, he ended up in jail. So tell me what his CV looks like to qualify him to become prime minister. You see the limits we put on God. If I have this certificate, I know someone who rose to run a major airline in he rose, I don't want to give out too much, but he rose just so that he's safe. He rose to run a major, he got to the point of, I don't know what title that is, you know, like director of, regional director for Europe and America. Right? Running that level of the major international, I'm not talking about local airline, international airline. He really didn't sit for his university exams or even walk into a university. He never did. Matter of fact, well, with some little cash, my sister helped him to write some things. He just had a charisma. He was always at the right place at the right time. And kept rising. First job, assistant country director. The next year, he's becoming the country director. No qualification, high school. That's all he had. With good English. And could speak a little French. How did he get the job in the first place? Country director was having problems. Country director couldn't speak French. He steps in. Walking to go see my sister. In the same company. Pops in. Can I help? Spoke a little French. He got a job. If God can do this for someone who is really not faithful to him, how much more you, a child of the covenant? I had this conversation with my brother and my brother-in-law in January. Last month, he got his promotion. Very significant promotion. So I'm expecting my seed. Amen? Hey, listen. If we have blessed you with carnal things, I mean, with spiritual things, is it too much to ask? Amen? Hallelujah, I'm just kidding. Anyway. But I'm saying that when I made the statement, is there room at the top? He paused. And he believed. Within the space of a month, it happened. And you want to tell me that that was because of hard work? Something that was not even in view at all. Significant. Not just next level kind of promotion. Very significant. God is faithful. Met a young woman who was suffering from, I had to refer to the email I sent our pastor. I had this event in 2019, and I'm going to be very careful to preserve some of the information. She was schizophrenic and bipolar. Now, I didn't know initially. The Lord just stirred in my spirit to go meet this person. One thing led to another, and we met. And we started talking. This young lady, initially I thought this was, you know, an older woman in a small, you know, stature. And when she told me that she's a twin, and that the medication she has been taking had made her shrivel so much, her hair is looking, you know, gray in some parts and all that, all just thinned out. And she's a twin, and every day she wakes up, you know, she sees what she could look like in her twin. The twin is all robot. Now, imagine what that is doing to somebody who is bipolar and schizophrenic. You are seeing her robust, long hair, you know, luxurious hair for the sister and all of that, living her life. And then you are here confined to a space because you don't know how you're going to act the next minute. And she came to Cleveland to, because she had run a few tests and she just came to get the result to know if indeed this is true. And before she came, she said she had done some research to find out more about assisted suicide or something like that. And, you know, when she told me about her illness, the initial feeling I got was fear, because now I'm in this confined space with this person. Lord, you better be in this in this place with me right now. But I don't know, I became overwhelmed with compassion for this young woman. And I don't know how the conversation started, I can't remember, but we started talking. And she told me how she was abused by some people who she was supposed to go on a missionary trip with. So a bunch of Christians she partnered with, and they abused her. And that did a number on her. And she was so broken, and she had all these things to say about believers and church. And I reminded her that, listen, these are still human beings with their failures and their faults and all of that. The love of God is still real. It's still true. And God is still pouring that love towards her. To a point where I can't remember all I said, but I know that everything was so divine that she herself, she said, listen, this meeting, God indeed arranged this meeting. And the medication she has been taking that she stopped, it dried up her tear duct. That for a long time, she's been unable to cry. No matter how much she tried. Now, I don't know. I've not researched this, but I know there might be, it might be true. You know, she told me that she's not, I mean, she tries to cry, but nothing is happening. It's dry. And she told me right there that she could feel the tears welling up, coming out. Woo, man. At that moment, listen, this was worth more than $1 million to me at that point. Now, I'll tell you something. We were in a car together. I was driving, taking her all the way to Youngstown. I had told this young woman that, listen, my gas is not going to take us all the way. For those of you who travel that far, this car was consuming gas like crazy for some reason. I said, listen, it's not going to take us all the way, so I might have to stop over to get gas. Is that okay? She said, fine. But as we got caught up in this conversation and we drove, I completely forgot about my gas tank. The Lord held. I just wish I took a picture. The Lord held this gas tank where it was. That dial did not move 1 inch. I'm not saying this for you to believe it. This is my experience, right? God did that, held that thing in place. We finished talking, and she said, listen, I'm going to keep living. I'm not going to kill myself. We got to the final destination, and I said, can I pray? She said, oh yeah, pray. And we prayed. The smile on her face, the joy, it was like night and day. The person that came into the car and the person that was going down, it was like night and day. Life came back into her being. The very pale person that came in was so full of life, bouncing and almost leaping to her apartment. I was so full of joy. My mistake is I didn't take her number or, you know, take any photos or anything. And as I was driving out, now check God. As I turned around, hit the freeway, checked out my gas. This gas, it looked like somebody just punctured my gas tank. it started to drain so fast. I was like, wait a minute. And that was when I realized, listen, I hadn't topped up this thing. And so all the gas I spent, or I should have spent, coming on this journey, it started to, it was just going like that. I had to pray to God, say, listen, Lord, please forgive me. Can you please just lead me to somewhere I can get gas? This is Youngstown. I've never been before. But I was so overwhelmed with the power of God in that place. I knew that if for nothing, one life has been saved. Because I yielded to God. I said, Lord, this was a Monday. It's my rest day. What am I driving around for? But I couldn't resist. I came out, went there, and oh my goodness. And you tell me God doesn't have something for you to do? You tell me that the people he brings your way is just so that you can pour your problems on them? There are people God will bring into your life that he wants you to pour something into. He wants that glory to spill into them. So that they will know that indeed God is. Remember the story our pastor shared about his encounter on the plane. You want to tell me that guy, when he boards the plane again, he will not remember that one day one man of God told me how to overcome fear. So divine everything is not just for us to pay bills. It's not for us to just meet our daily needs. It's for us to prove to the world that God is still faithful. God is still in the business of performing miracles. God is still displaying his wisdom and his power in our world today. And nothing is permitted to die in our lives. So if you have anything dead, speak to it. Call it back to life. That dream, call it back to life. That vision, call it back to life. That project, resurrect that project. The power of God is at work in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us rise up on our feet right now. And I want us to now reconnect to the power source. And begin to reaffirm who we are in Christ. Begin to reaffirm the promise of God. And begin to declare divine everything in our lives. That we will be the channel through which God will transmit his power and his glory in our day in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. I am an instrument of your glory. I am an instrument of your glory. Lord, I thank you for divine intervention. I thank you for divine interruptions. Every funeral is interrupted today in the name of Jesus. The resurrection power of God is at work in me in the name of Jesus. So nothing is permitted to stay dead in my life in the name of Jesus. Nothing is permitted to die in my hands in the name of Jesus. The glory of God is upon me. It shall be revealed in my life and all flesh shall see it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for displaying your glory. Thank you, Father, for transmitting your power through me to the world around me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Be exalted, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you put your hands together and celebrate God?